Blog Talk Radio.
Over the Rainbow Show with your host, Bob Brown. On Friday, 29th of July, 2016, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all the listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367. And from the UK, 001-347-539-5367. And the chat room is open. Well, I have a couple of announcements to make tonight, just in case we run out at the end of the show. The first one is had my operation, and everything was going all right, but I seem to have got an infection in my kneecap now, where they did the operation, so it's very, very painful. And I've been in agony for the last 3 days. But anyway, I've been to the doctors, and they've had a look. They were going to take me clips out today. They took two out, and then it started to bleed, so, and then they realised it was infected at the same time. So I'm going to leave it till Tuesday now. And the second, what I wanted to tell you about is I'm leaving Blog Talk Radio. This is my last show tonight on Blog Talk, but I'm going to a new radio station called, strange, but I always forget, and I shouldn't forget anyway, they call it the Beacon of Light Radio. I'll still be on the air on Wednesdays and Fridays doing the Beacon of Light Radio. It's a new show that's only just starting this Monday, and I've been invited to be on the show with a lot of other guests from doing all sorts of different stuff, and I think it's a way forward for me and charity Minton, who's the sponsor and everything. I'm sure we'll have lots of pleasure over the years to come. Right then, let's get on with the show tonight. We're going to have a really good show tonight. A good friend of mine, Mark and Phyllis Brickenhoff. Now, Mark has been a contactee who often is able to photograph UFOs as they morph into and out of their visible spectrum. He's a conscious channel in touch with benevolent ETs who are interested in our spiritual and planetary evolution. Can we please welcome Mark and Phyllis to the show? Hello, Mark.
Hey. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
It's so nice to hear your voice and Phyllis's as well.
It's great to hear your voice again.
Great to hear you. Didn't know this was the last show of it.
We're excited about whatever.
Beacon Light, Beacon of Light Radio. Great.
Beacon of Light Radio, yes. I will be inviting you on to that show as well in the near future.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Some of the listeners who don't know a lot about you, Mark, can you just give us a brief insight into what you do?
Okay, I guess every time I do this, I fall into some other subject. Notice that? I start talking about something and all of a sudden, we're off. Well, okay.
Yes, I know.
I'll make it really as short as I can, right?
Sure.
So best I can make
give
it short.
Give me your best shot, honey.
it's on my website, though, intergalacticmission.com,
yes.
for the bio. So I'm a walk-in. That means I came in consciously, took over a body, a soul left, and I took it over. So I remember my past, and I remember where it came from. I also remember being here at this galaxy in this universal area of our solar system for millions of years, where we observed Earth's formation as well as the dinosaurs and information like that. But a lot of people I've come to meet on Earth are people we've met in past times, like from Atlantean times. So in a way, well, in other times, Native American times. So I came back here to not only find my soulmate, who is here, Phyllis, and we see each other all the time out of body on the other side through soul travel. And I met Phyllis in a vision in 1976, but I met her physically in 1978. So we were always meant to come together. And then we're helping people. We were told also we would meet people at lectures that we've known already. So that happens all the time. We feel like we know each other. So I'm an artist also. I'm self-taught. And I might try to depict things I've seen, either space people or visions or
yes.
animals, dinosaurs. I'm also an animal artist or a portrait artist. So,
You know, Mark,
what
I also,
next? I mean,
I want to jump in.
Reiki and all these things.
You name it, he does it. You know, I wanted to jump in and say that he's actually never had a life on Earth. He's just been visiting us for all those, you know, many millennium. So
yes.
I'm the one that got stuck on Earth. Mark never came into 3D reality.
Till now.
So,
but we only time visiting was in etheric forms. We came in and we had formed a body to work with as we come in. And we stay so long to help or do what we're doing, but we have to keep going back to our ships to, like, in a sense, we think of regeneration. It's not the same thing, but just in the energy acclimation again. And so that's why when our friends and teachers or space friends or even Earth masters and teachers, when they physically appear to you or us or anyone, they only stay for a short time, and usually sometimes 5-10 minutes at the most, and then they might just dematerialize because it's how much energy they can hold to form the physical body they're working with for us to visit or see them. And
yes.
this happens to a lot of people all the time, many times, and we always say on the other side, we see miracles happen all the time, just no one notices them. It's like you might meet somebody and they disappear later, and you go, when did that go? it's like Yeshua.
It's strange how that happens as well. I know you wanted to touch on a bit about physical visitations of an angelic beings. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's true. We're going to touch on that because I'm also a contactee and a UFO photographer. That was the ending of my bio, I think.
Yes.
So, animal intuitive. What else? Okay, so we were going to touch on that because there is a quickening that's occurring right now in our solar system and galaxy as well. It's due to the energetic fields of clouds or whatever we want to call them. We call them the blue energy field in space, but Earth might call it something else. But I've been talking about this since I was a little kid. The thing is that I see them when I'm out on the ships, and this is beyond our galaxy, these clouds, these forms, these energetic, like heavy gravitational or heavy magnetic energy it has, magnetic energy.
Yes.
And that's transforming to physical densities and lower astral etheric densities. So there's beings that are on the lower etheric levels that are invisible to us, though they have physical lives too, but they're invisible to us right now. They'd be walking right by us. These kind of energetic fields can affect their densities too on their levels. So there's a transforming effect, which includes physical DNA changes sometimes. Like you might start noticing some animals might become extinct, and then new species are being found. And this is happening still. New species of little, let's say, frogs, spiders, are being found around planet Earth right now, and fish as well. So this is what goes on normally anyway, in the way the universe moves and the omniverse changes things all the time with life on the planets. So when we're talking about, when we meet these ETs or extraterrestrials, let's say, that are high master types or, let's say, ascended beings,
yes,
like Yehoshua, who is Sananda, who he is, aspect of Creator's son, let's say, when they appear to us, well, Yeshua can appear and talk with us longer if he wants, because he can. But if these other master teacher beings, ETs, and some of the masters of Earth, like I've met Kuthumi, he works in space as well. Master Kuthumi was St. Francis. And he only stayed visible for me, probably met me in a store for about 5 minutes. And then when I followed him out the store door, he disappeared. He wasn't there anymore. And when he disappeared and I saw that he was gone, I was awakened to everything that had just happened and who it was, even though I knew there was a being there. This is going to happen to people, this quickening effect. This is the energy field frequencies around our aura, as well as the planet systems and the auric energy of our physical planet Earth. These things are all transforming right now, including our solar sun, you know, the sun and the other planets in the system are, in a way, warming up in different ways of energy. They can see it from the NASA people can see that changes are happening. So what happens, though, is it is important for us humans on the Earth right now, and people in ETs and physical bodies, whatever you're doing, all the people here, to keep our minds on the highest frequencies of light. Keep our minds focused to, let's say, Creator, Yehoshua, Blessed Mother Mary, the archangels, the angels and guides.
You know, Buddha, other beings.
Kuan Yin,
beings,
beautiful being, Kuan Yin and Buddha, wonderful people. And
All
these beings are, whatever feels right to a person is fine, right? So you, and like there's truth in everything anyway. So all truth is together. There's one creator being that is the omniscient one, that is beyond the omniverse. The omniverse is contained within the creator. So it knows us. It knows all of us individually as aspects of itself, as children. Like Christ said, we're all children of the creator. But when we wake up, and now it's an important time to wake up on planet Earth, many people are walking asleep. You know, they call it sleep. They're a sleepwalker. They're not aware or conscious yet of the divine aspect or tune of their heart to chakra of the creator, let's say that way. They are busy making money or busy trying to figure out ways to do things or get above everyone else or something. So it's a stressful life.
Or just to survive the negativity of the
That's
matrix.
True. Just survive, right, Pookie? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they might not be awake yet, but the potential is always there, because one person can meet somebody and with a word or something that's happened to them, whether it be a miracle, they could change that person to believe and maybe have an awakening and say, maybe this is real, maybe this can happen to me. There's a lot of atheism spreading right now for some reason, although in my inner heart I feel all people who say they're atheists are not totally an atheist, because I feel once they get sick or something's happening to them, they're gonna say, why? What happened? Please help me, you know. And Creator hears us when we call out with our heart, you know, when we're frightened or scared, and Jesus hears us too, and they come to you or come to us, and they'll say, energetically give us some kind of energy, lets us know we've been heard or Creator cares, because I know people want to say it's an impersonal Creator or a personal Creator, and I can tell you it can be both to us. It's a personal Creator, and it can be impersonal because we are impersonal to it. It comes to us the way we are to it. Now, Creator gives us the free will, so it gives us free will to decide how we want to believe. It does not force us to believe or threaten us like an Old Testament entities would, you know, saying, you know, if I don't, we'll smite you. You know, that doesn't happen. The Creator is a loving Creator, and Yehoshua came to tell that story. He said, the Creator is they call my father, because in those days it was a patriarchal society. So he would say, my father. But it's really in truth out there in space. There's no sexual anything with the Creator. It's a, let's say, amorphous, androgynous type being of all kinds of things. It's just love. So it's representing to us what we feel strongest.
So nice.
So, you know, if a man wants
so nice
to call up the
Mark.
Father.
Like, you know, when it first happened to you, coming into all this, how did you feel in yourself?
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
The question is like, how did you feel in terms of the his
personal
relationship with the Creator?
Yes.
Is that what? Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Love. I've always had a personal relationship since I was 4.5, 5 years old. I would ask questions, and I would hear and get answers, whether through out of body dream states or with Jesus as well, or Yehoshua, and the personal feeling was I knew and understood, and also from my memory, I understood that from my past times and in space as well before I came here, was I knew the Creator cared about everyone, every being of light, every one of us. And in space, there's no religion like we think of on planets here, on planet Earth. There's no real religion like that. It's just love and oneness with Creator and understanding of the Creator. But in all these earthly religions, it seems like there is one being they focus to, and that's good. that's their truth. But and Yehoshua or Jesus or Sananda, we know him in space as Sananda. He and Blessed Mother Mary are not owned by any religion. They're free. They respect all. And they love all. So anybody, whoever, whatever belief system a person has, can call out to them at any time, and they have promised that they will come when you call with your heart. So if a person has doubts about something or is not sure about something, like some atheist might say, I'm not sure if God exists, but please help me to believe. If there is a God, come to me. And usually Jesus comes to them, usually. So they have to call with their heart in sincerity. So my feeling for Creator has always been personal, but I know there's people, and Yogananda talked about it, of the impersonal, thinking God was an impersonal because it doesn't care about me. You know, I call and cry and pray and nothing happens.
Actually, Yogananda personalized Creator in depending on how he was praying, either male or female. If he needed a female, he would be praying to Divine Mother.
Divine Mother, right. He does amazing with that.
You know, Mark, I think that the thing that we really want to communicate today is that depending on how we are operating in our spiritual life in this realm right now is going to make the possibility for these supernatural kind of meetings to occur more and more. As a matter of fact, the person that we had been speaking with who had this experience, Mark was told, you know, to get used to it, to get used to the supernatural, you know, but things don't happen when you call on them, but this particular person is a very spiritual praying person, practices Reiki, is on a prayer line constantly, and, you know, has a divine attitude toward animals, is almost vegan, but not quite. That doesn't mean you have to be, we're certainly not.
No.
But just, you know, has that type of idea and attitude about being, reverential. And doesn't always have an easy time on this planet either. This is not a person who has had everything given to her. It's, you know, it's a person who has struggled deeply. And but she had been listening to the radio shows and speaking to. That's our cat in the
background. Sorry about that, everybody.
That's our beautiful cat. And so she had been listening to the radio shows and then, you know, speaking with us and, you know, finding inspiration in them and had, you know, sort of been saying, you know, geez, I'd love to meet an ascended ET master. So these were thoughts in her head. And then she was, you want to finish, you tell the story really very well because Mark has a photographic memory.
Wow.
It kind of started out a number of weeks before she actually had the event, you know, with
a few weeks before this event occurred, she calls us and she says, I woke up, it was like 3 in the morning, and there was a hovering object over my apartment, and it sounded like a flying saucer, not an airplane or anything, it was hovering like a... And so she said, did I just come back from them, or are they coming to get me? Because she sleeps very lightly. And I said to her, it could be both. Also a test. And she said for the first time, normally she would get up to look out the window or go outside and look over the building, because it's only 2 stories. She's on the first floor and there's another floor. And it's often wooded areas anyway. And she said for some reason she didn't feel to do that. And I thought that was interesting, because it might mean, I told her, that nobody might have seen anything. And it was just with you in your house. So the thing is she then, a couple weeks later,
so in other words, she reacted correctly at that moment. She wasn't in fear.
Right.
She didn't experience fear.
No, she was excited. Yeah. And she goes, so she's going to go to the store, a mediocre type of store, like an all-in-one store, like a dollar store
dollar
or something.
Store, yeah.
And she didn't forget, but she left her phone home to charge. And usually people carry their cell phone everywhere. So she goes to the place to get something for work or something. She had to pick up something. So she's trying to find this, whatever it is in the store. And she said to us that she was going down an aisle looking for something. And she comes around the next aisle to turn around and go around another corner, let's have an aisle. And suddenly there were 3 tall people standing there. 7 feet tall, 3 men. She's a... And the first thought in her mind was, whoa, it's in her mind, whoa, are these ETs? And instead of any other thought, and you know that they can read your mind, so they did that, obviously. But she said, whoa, are these ETs? And then she continued to go down the next aisle, and they followed her, and they were behind her. And as she was looking down at what she was trying to find, she turned... She got up or looked, you know, squatted down, looking for something, whatever. She bent down, gets up and turns around, and the big one is one right behind her. And he had a semi-trimmed beard or something, very nice beard. He was very good-looking. All 3 of them were good-looking. And he looked down and he smiled at her. Now, the other guy, blonde, blue-eyed man.
Now, these guys are basically 20, in their 20s.
They look like they're in their 20s.
They're in their 20s. My sister is in her 60s. So, you know, millennials
very
don't
good.
Usually smile at 60-year-olds. Just saying. They don't.
I like it.
Perfect teeth, you know, the whole look.
Yes.
And she's describing everything to us, and they were laughing. Because the one on her right, and when she turned around, would be on the other person's left, was a blonde with blue eyes, and he was looking around way above everything as if he was observing the area and never looked at her. Then there was another one on the other person, the man's, his right, I guess, her left, and she could hardly see that man, but he had dark skin, and he was observing around. And the only one that looked at her was the one right behind her who looked down at her with dark, dark hair, like dark tan skin. Kind of almost Middle Eastern, but not, she said, it was different. So he looks down at her, smiles, and with that smile came an infusion of love. What did she say? Like she was young again, like she was a child, a teenager.
Oh.
This feeling of joy and oneness came to her.
Which you experienced with
Which
that?
Is what I experienced, the same type of thing with Balfon in the park, the other ET.
Yes.
I experienced exactly that. Now, he looked like he was 25, and I'm 60. What am I now? I don't even know anymore. 62? 3?
Yeah.
Okay, I felt like I was 20 with him talking.
Yeah.
I was full of that kind of light and feeling. So this is what happened to our friend, our close buddy. And she experienced that same feeling. So she turns around, gets her object, whatever she was looking for, and then she's going to go to the checkout. They follow her. So she's at the checkout, and she's noticing nobody in the store sees these people. They're not looking up at these tall guys, like 7 feet. All three of them are the same height, she said, exactly the same height. And they're all observing around.
Can see these.
So it's as though there's 3 7-foot movie stars following this girl around, and nobody notices.
She didn't even see the checkout. And so she leaves. She gets her thing. She leaves to go to the car because she has to get to the work. She has to get the job. But first she has to stop to get home and get her phone, too. So, and the joke here is, because I pointed these things out, I said to her, were they talking? She said, no, because they're telepathic. Did they have any objects like jewelry, rings, cell phones, watches, anything? She said, no. Were they talking to each other? No. Did they buy anything? No. But were they an answer to her thoughts and prayer? Yes, a sign or a test. They always test us like that. And
But she didn't put two and two together.
No, not when it's happening, right. Yeah, she discussed this with us. And these are things I brought up to her and said, did you notice anything like cell phones? Because, you know, young guys, they have cell phones. They're constantly talking to each other, texting.
Yeah.
You're doing nothing like that. So she noticed that two of them were observing as if looking around, like, and I said, like a bodyguard. And she went, yeah, like a bodyguard, observing. Where the other one was right behind her, the one that looked at her. And so it's interesting how this works. So she has to go out to the car and get to the car. She's waiting for them to come out of the store behind her. So they came out, and they're not carrying any bags or anything. They were as if they bought nothing. Then a white car pulls up with a white license plate. She can't read it, but it's not a Connecticut license plate in Connecticut. And three guys get out of this car and go over to the guys, and they look like they're talking, although she says she can't tell if they're talking. They just had hand movements as if they were talking. And she said, we were thinking about it, right? Three guys going to have a car? Well, how are these three giant guys going to fit in a car? And in here, usually you have five people in a car. The front seat has just two seats. So all these people can fit in one of these little cars. But it doesn't matter because I told her angels show up with white cars to help people. And the three guys that got out of the car, which has happened to me and Phyllis, we've had angels on the highways with us, the cars usually disappear. They just drive away and disappear. So this could have been, I said to her, an angel, angels with the car that help people that you're allowed to see. You are allowed to see. Etherically, they let you see them. No one else was noticing these people. And maybe they probably never got in the car. They don't have to get in the car. They could just dematerialize. So she's never forgotten this. Now, this just happened about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And she goes back the next day to the store to see if anybody might have seen these people with her, but she realizes everybody that was there that day were not the people that were there when she was there. But she knew what she saw, and she knew nobody noticed them. And I'm in New York, and, you know, they do look at people that are tall. Even if they walk by, the people turn around and look. And that's what I noticed with the guy in the park with that python. Nobody seemed to notice him. Nobody, even the two dogs that were 3 feet from him, didn't even react to him. And dogs always react to people walking by. So I thought, wait a minute, am I the only one to see this guy? And it's funny because he was as solid and he shook his hand, you know. So it's this is what that he can do. Like the space people have always said, those will see who we want to see. They've told me that since I was a little kid. And they also told me we come to our own. So anyone listening now, we have a friend now in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and she's had amazing experiences just recently after following what we said on the Facebook or our website. Adene Basu Braggs and how to speak and telepathics and all. And she got to see three spaceships flashing to her in multicolors near a parking lot. And she sent us the pictures of what the parking lot looks like normally, and there was nowhere for lights to be in the sky in that night. She saw them. But this is what we're trying to help people with, is understanding that we have to be open in sincerity, in humbleness, in reverence and devotion to Creator in our heart and soul. And to our brothers and sisters, because we're all part of aspects of each other. We're all, in a way, we're all energetically connected to each other. So we're all brothers and sisters and androgynous beings and in galaxy and universals. That's the space people call themselves sometimes universals because they don't use planets. So we're all connected. And because of that love through Creator, through Yahushua, through Mary, we're all connected. And this is how we get into our other topics of the we wanted to talk about this.
Well, you know, and we're going to do that,
but I'd
like you to finish this one, because then as we she had called and we were talking about this, it actually dawned on me first, because I seem to be the one that figures it out before everybody figures it out, and then Mark goes and finds the details out. So I said, wait a minute,
yeah.
But how, are you sure that those weren't aliens? And then the information starts flooding in, and so he went and he figured
I think aliens right away, or angels.
But then he
yeah.
went out and he went up to his higher, you know, aspects and said, well, you know, who were these and what were they? And this is when he found out. Tell them what you found out.
Okay, the blonde guy with the blue eyes was our friend's guardian, one of her guardians, angels. And the other one on the other side was another angel. The one in the middle that smiled to her was an ET master that's on the ships near the Earth that works in teaching levels, and he appeared in a way she would accept, and that he appears like that in space, but not always with a beard. But she had even said, she thinks to us, she's told us, if a guy has a beard that's nice and not long and shaggy or something, she finds that attractive. So this man, this being, took on a form she would accept and not be shocked with or something, or not be like, oh, who's this? So she saw the blonde-haired guy, and she thought, who are these guys? They're all beautiful. And then, like she was saying, nobody was noticing them in this whole store. So, and she definitely keeps testing herself, and she goes back, and she checks things out. She says, Mark, today, she was telling us today, too, they were definitely 7 feet tall. Each one was the same height. Not a difference in variation. They were exactly the same height, because that's what struck her as odd when she looked at them the first time. And the clothing they were wearing was interesting also. Nothing jeans, no shorts, nothing like Earth people would wear. The blonde had a gray shirt to the wrist with gray slacks of some kind that didn't look too loose and didn't look like jeans of any kind. She can't remember their shoes or anything, but she said the one in the middle that talked telepathically or looked to her was wearing something dark blue or dark, almost black, and it had on his shirt was some kind of pattern that she thought was a square-shaped little pattern or some kind of little design. The other man, she just can't remember totally what he was wearing, but it was definitely the same color. These guys were wearing the same color outfit. Whatever they were wearing was the same color, like gray on gray, black on black, blue on blue, something like that. And I find that funny, because when we think about it, that's how they would do that. On the other side, they wear outfits that seemingly match each other's color. So if you're wearing a tunic-y shirt or something with slacks, you might be wearing loose pants or something that are similar color. So it's like silvery white or gray or light blue or something like that. They do that. They'll interchange.
Would any of them have a sign on the shirts or anything like that? A motif or anything?
Any motif?
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. She said the one in blonde, the blonde guy, was wearing just all solid, like a light gray. Mephilo said, oh, like a spacesuit. And the other guy in the middle, darkish, something either dark blue or almost blue-black. And all she could say was there's something on his shirt that was like a pattern, but she couldn't remember it clearly, because all she could think of and seeing was his eyes and his face and how sweet and kind and brown eyes he had, brown eyes.
It was definitely not a J. Crew outfit.
I don't even know if she says there were buttons. You know, she's just telling us like a shirt, you know. The other man,
yes.
The other being was an angelic being, but she really didn't see clear all his details, just knew that he was beautiful and almost black, could have been like an African look, but not exact. She said he had darker skin, and as if she felt, and of course everybody out there wants you to know, in space and angels, they come every color, race, shade we are, every way we look, they are. So, and in space as well. And there are Asian type beings and everything. Even more Asian than our Asians.
Now, I think we ought to just take a phone call at the moment. It's a 2525 number.
Hi, I'm
Hello.
Here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Mar Ben. I'm calling.
Hey, Mar.
Hi.
Mar.
I knew it.
It's Mar.
And now
friend.
I do.
Love you.
I'm fine. It's wonderful to have this amazing information, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to listen and hear all these wonderful things. I have a practical question regarding how to be as loving as possible in a situation where one is challenged with a family member that is, you know, having a lot of challenges themselves. What would Sananda, could you sort of give us how Sananda would advise a person who's dealing with a very challenging family situation, someone who's suffering deeply, and how to love them in the most effective way?
Good question.
Oh, so like a, this is like a family member?
Suffering. Yes, who's suffering in a lot of pain, emotional, physical, you know, psychological, and how to just love them the most, you know, the way that's the most effective in terms of giving them support and not destroying one's own self, if you follow me.
I think a lot of people go through this type of...
Yeah, we have a lot of friends and a lot of people going through family things.
Yeah, what you think Sananda would say or what you would tell that someone who has a family member who is in extreme suffering and what to do that's the most effective.
Okay, if it's like depression or anxiety suffering,
yes,
then they would recommend, hold on, the contacts up there,
okay,
saying to me, what we do, and they want us to point this out too. I don't know if me and Phyllis right now say rosaries because they cleanse and purify and they take over. Mary is amazing with that. When we were going through some crazy stuff too, you know, I was going through some crazy anxiety stuff that I think I was being attacked because I never get that, and also I was getting these weird things happening. So we started saying rosaries, and now they're backed off. We
wow.
get many times by lower astral beings. I want to thwart us from bringing energy out or bringing our information out or anyone like you. You give a lot of beautiful things. You do a lot of things. So if you might be thwarted sometimes by something that seems to be like, what's holding me back? Something's stopping me with this. What's going on?
I feel that so deeply.
It's a lot. And it's not you. It's we. The light, like I like to say, I know people say, you know, the bright light is the moths go towards the light. Well, that's what's going on. We're the bright lights, and these negative beings, not moths, but you know, they come at us to quench, you know, stop the light. They don't want it. And part of their little job, as whatever the negative beings want to play with, is to keep this information or keep the light from shining to help others. Because the lower people keep in thoughts and desire into the earth, or negative thoughts, fear, anxiety, what else, depression, suicide, all these thoughts, they project more to make that person feel like that. And we have to call out the Creator, because it's easy to fall into that, into those sad things and all, and dwell. But we have to.
Can I just throw this in while you're saying that?
Yeah.
We find that once we started to do the rosary again, you know, and this isn't something that we've been doing all along. You know, we grew up as Catholics, but
yeah,
we put all those things aside. But then we just thought, you know, let's just start doing it. We thought, let's just start praying because we need. And so when you do it together out loud, if you have another person that you can do it with.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to amplify the energy, wouldn't you say, Mark? And when you're saying it out loud, when you pray a prayer out loud with another person, it's the negative spirits go running for their life.
They go running, yeah. That's why they always say keep your aura energy in blazing white light. Now, the ETs and our friends on the other side and Yahushua as well, Sananda, they want us to see our energy field and auric field as blazing. First you put blue, purple, lavenders, whatever, pink, but then blaze it with white crystalline light that looks like diamonds and sparkling, shimmering diamonds or quartzy crystals. You want to see that shimmering effect. And then blaze it out 3-5 feet, go out, and then the edgings of your aura, trim it with a shimmering golden metallic, like a sparkler, like that, shimmering sparkles of gold, and with that also silver. Trim it also with a little silver. The master teachers, like Sananda, who's beyond master teachers, he is the teacher of all teachers and teachers. Sananda told me this many times. He says, shimmer it in gold. That'll be your outer shell, the outer edge of the barrier, and shimmer with a little silver, like chrome silver. That's a shield. That's a reflector mirror. Keeps these things at bay with love and light. So the beings of, let's say, ascended ETs that walk around the earth and master teachers as well, the ascended masters like Kuthumi and Kuan Yin and all these, they have around their auric energy the golden energy frequency around it as well. So in space, they told me this. They said, well, when we're watching from the ships, if they're hovering around Earth, they're moving by because they're invisible to us sometimes, they're looking for the souls whose energy shows white, blazing blue lights and purple, but also might be trimmed with that gold. If we trim it with the gold, that attracts the masters towards us. And if they see an aura trimmed in gold that the person didn't put there, that means a master teacher, like Yehoshua or Kuthumi, Kuan Yin, Buddha, all these teachers, all the names you can think of, are working with that person, and they've trimmed them with a little gold with that love because that's a protection for their students. Whenever a master teacher being takes on a student, they, in a sense, like Yogananda, would take on some of the karma of their students.
Yes.
And because they can transcend it and transmute it, where it helps that student release that energy or that karmic effect in their from their maybe past lifetimes or whatever. And that's what Jesus did when he was on earth walking with the apostles. He took on their energies and their stuff. So he knew what they were going to go through and what they were going to do. That's why he said to Judas, do what you're going to do quickly.
Yeah.
He already knew what he was going to do.
You know, Mark,
but he's already forgiven.
We're running out of time, so there's a couple of things.
Well, Mark can do the Harhan.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I think you should give her that idea.
We were
going
to talk about the Hieronymus effect. The Hieronymus effect.
The Galen's.
Dr. Thomas Galen Hieronymus.
Identified it.
He identified this. And if anyone out there has heard of radionics, he is the pioneer in the field of radionics, which comes into psychotronic, but that's later in the 70s. Where I talked with different scientists and people I knew back in the mid-70s about psychotronics with Russia and everybody was using to work with psychics.
But for the Hieronymus effect...
The Hieronymus effect is amazing. And we think this would be perfect for you, Mara, for your friend or family or anybody. The Hieronymus effect is like when you have Native Americans in the 1800s, they want their photos taken because they said, the camera thing, the creature there is going to steal our energy.
Yeah.
In a way, they're right. They were right. They intuitively knew something that was going to be taken. But when a photograph is taken, the energy field is in the photograph as well, even though you might not see the aura, but it's in there as a frequency. So when you get a photograph of someone and people hold it like, you know, they can psychometrize it and they go, oh, this person's not feeling good, they might know. So they can send energy to the photograph and you can use that as a healing device for people. The Hieronymus effect is taking, let's say, here's what Phyllis and I want to do, the Shroud of Turin.
Right.
The Shroud of Turin is the actual shroud of Yeshua, when he was here on earth. It shows the actual blood stains. And those blood stains, we knew people back in the 70s who were testing this, and there is actual blood and pollen inside the shroud that was from 2,000 years ago from that area in Israel.
Yeah.
So the shroud is real, and I knew that since I was a little child too. But like Phyllis and I were talking about, she brought it up too today. It's that, well, you got blood stains on the shroud that are real. The frequency is there. That's Yeshua in frequency from the energy when he transformed, when he rose. And it was radiating effect that created this. And they, to this day, cannot figure out how it was done. But there's blood stains on the shroud. If you hold a picture of the shroud or a book or a photo and put it, it becomes, and you focus to it knowing its truth, who it is and what it is, you will have the frequency of the energy, the blood of Christ.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at one right now talking.
And the reason that we brought this up is because Mark had a mystical vision of the crucifixion around Easter of this year, and he saw the blood dripping on Mary, and it allowed her to survive it because she was at the foot of the cross. But the blood also touched a Roman centurion that was trying to move Mary away from the foot of the cross. This is a vision that was also verified by another mystic, because we had never heard this before until Mark saw it. And so the blood touched when he touched the Mary, he touched the blood of Jesus, which was on her veil or whatever, and he was instantly transformed and healed by being touched by the blood. And when you think about what Mary was experiencing at the foot of the cross, being, you know, watching her beloved son, you know, die, how possibly have even been there without just, you know, dying herself? But no, she was there. And I said to Mark, how was she able to do it? Because she was crying and saying, "My baby, my baby." This is his vision. And I said, Mark, how could she possibly have survived being there at the foot of the cross with him dying right there?
Yeah, they told me that his blood was helping her to become who she was to become now, to help those who were there when he goes. He was leaving, and when he finally leaves, when he did ascend, she was the one who became like the one that apostles all looked to and helped. And when he said, "This is your mother," that's what he meant, not just to his apostles and his family, who were his cousins, John, it was his cousin. He meant, "This is your mother," but he meant to all of us, to all people, all beings, all souls, "This is your mother." And she is the aspect of the feminine aspect of Creator right now. And so Yahshua represents the masculine aspect. If you pray to Mary, she comes. And I would pray to Mary and Yahushua for your friend and family.
Mm-hmm.
She's the most amazing. I've met her many times on the other side, and she's come to our apartment with roses. So, interestingly, last night I was out of body and I had a dream. I told Phyllis it wasn't a dream, though. I was saying a rosary. And that sometimes she'll tell me in lucid dreams to pray, so I'll start praying. But this time I had a rosary, and I also had a scapula, which I don't usually use. So it's white scapula, and of course on the back is a fat. I don't know if people understand that, but it was Saint Simon that brought that in. Mary said, if you wear this and if anything happens to you, if you should die wearing the scapula in any way, you will be saved from anything, that she'll be there with you, and you won't go through burning or anything, whatever. Well, I saw that, so I said, ooh, this is a sign for me that I have to tell Phyllis and me that we should wear this. Now, you can wear them in different ways. You don't have to wrap them around your head, put them over your head. You can put them on a chain in a way, or put it in an inside pocket, or pin it to a T-shirt if men want to wear that instead of having something wrapped around their neck. You could do that, too.
On the inside.
And wear the rosary?
I was thinking the other day, I'd like to design one that kind of looks like a necklace another clip that clips the long part up to the necklace, and then when you want it, you have it there. You have the five decades and the three and the one, and with the cross.
That's make great
idea.
Oh, I bet you they do have. You're right, Mark. They have rosary bracelets.
Well, they're just decades, and you just count.
And you count the decades.
I would start doing that. Call to her, and if you need something burned, frankincense and myrrh brings in the angelic frequency very high. The angels have always told me, if you burn frankincense and myrrh, it lets us stay longer around your presence as well. And if you notice in churches, it's frankincense smell with some other.
Yeah.
Essences that are there that they use too. That's called cathedral, maybe, I don't know. But all I know is around Yahushua and Mary is that scent, as well as sandalwood around Yahushua, roses around Mary, floral scents as well, lilacs. I've smelled that. Pray and ask for that your friend or family, even people who have dementia or having problems like that, or other problems, physical problems. And if you wind up shrouded Turin, we were talking about this because we've experienced things before. But the ET friends and her, Phyllis's over self, revealed that to her today. So we should talk about this because we were talking about it before, but never this effect, this extent. And the blood is on the shroud in any photograph you could find. And print one out or buy one somewhere, I don't know.
It's a transformative tool.
And it will transform. But we have to understand and recognize what it is. If people don't believe and doubt, nothing good has much happening. When the faith, like Creator has always said, Yeshua, faith, trust, humility,
True.
If you've never met a spiritual being or an angel, and people go, well, I've never met one, I don't believe that, I'm not sure if they exist. If you never met one, have faith. Know that they're there. The angels have always said to me, they said, if the person just says it to themselves even, or prays it and says, I know you're here watching and observing and protecting me, thank you, thank you, thank you, that gives the energy for the angel, their guardian angel, to now help communicate in some way. If you say prayers of any kind, thanks, gratitude, in any kind of way, to Creator, and give thanks to your guardians that are with you, and also your spirit friends and guides and family, if you give thanks in that way for your guardians and the protection they offer, that gives them energy from Creator, who says to the angels, look, your soul friends, your children are watching and they believe you. Here's more energy because they trust without seeing, like St. Thomas. You know, the thing, like, and don't forget, I don't want anybody to get mad at poor Thomas when he was saying, doubting Thomas. The reason he doubted is because he had not been in the area. He had been away, and everybody had been seeing Christ, Yeshua, walking around. But he said he'll know when he sees, right?
But of course he didn't look like himself anymore.
He didn't look
anymore,
like Yehoshua, the way everybody remembered him. He was semi-transformed, which is a semi-Sananda state mixed with a little bit of a beard or something in those days. And so that's, Yehoshua understood that. And he understood, that's why he said, come, Thomas, and look at my hands. Put your fingers in my side and my hands. And when he touched Jesus, he was awakened to the fact that he knew this was him. But that's why Mary didn't recognize him on the road to Damascus when he was leaving the cave, when he had risen. She says, sir, do you know where they've taken him? Because she didn't see him, because he didn't look exactly like he did. And so the apostles who were with him on the mountain when he was transformed was Peter and James. So they saw him transform. Anyway, getting off.
Thank you. No, thank you so much.
Thomas was not smart.
Yes.
It wasn't his fault.
Well, okay, I want to get back to these tools, because the concept of these tools are, you know, more powerful than we can possibly imagine, but not if we have no belief in them. If we believe in them and we actually understand what they're doing, like, let's say, the rosary, I know it's going to turn a lot of people off, like, oh, who wants to do, but, you know, just if you could just put your prejudice aside for a second and think, well, you know, what if they're right? What if this is one of the most powerful weapons of good in the universe? Might be worth trying it, right? Might just be worth trying to see if this particular tool works. And we've also had some very exciting testimonies from people that have been playing with the symbols and just using them unbeknownst to other people, that they're using them on them, and certain things have happened that seem miraculous. So those also have a Hieronymus effect in them when you understand that these are light symbols. The one that we have a few of them on the website, and these are symbols that are directly from the source of Creator that are, you know, and whatever we've said they are, like whether it's the one that we have on site is a praise Creator, or we have brother, we have sister, I think we have transformation. We've got a few. I think we have, if you look on the book cover also, there's more, so there's probably eight or so that have been posted, and you can play with them and use them and understand that in terms of the Hieronymus effect, or the, you know, the psionic, I think they call it psionic energy or sonic, I don't know what that
is. I can't, hold
we're
on.
Just now starting to put two and two together. We've been living in like a supernatural world for our entire lives here, so we haven't had to go studying. So let's say all of these arcane ideas and things, because we just live them. But we realize that people actually need to have things that seem to have some kind of concrete basis on which to ruminate, or to think about, or to study. And the Hieronymus effect, it occurred to me just the other day, because we had been praying the rosary. And so, okay, this is also a result of having prayed the rosary, because we are praying the rosary now, not every day, but fairly frequently, and each decade we always offer one decade to Mary and Yeshua, one decade to the angels and the nature kingdom, and then we split up the other five decade, you know, the three decades amongst the things that, you know, the people that we believe need it, you know, the most, and, you know, of course, always the world. And one of the primary things that we are praying for very, very fiercely and intently is for truth, to really see, understand, and discern the truth in whatever we are doing. And I think that that's a very important prayer for people, to be able to discern truth no matter what they're looking at, you know, aside from all the other things, to be able to discern the truth. When you hear what we're saying, maybe you may not think it's correct, or you know, just ask to discern whether it may or may not be correct, or anything for that matter, no matter what it is that you are hearing from any source. Where is the truth in the information that you are perceiving in this matrix? Is that what they wanted us to say, Mark?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much, Mark and Phyllis. God bless you.
Just the idea of these Hieronymus effects could be anything. Could be a picture of a crystal. Could be a picture of something that you know, like something that's healing. It could even be a vitamin.
Could be Buddha. Could be anything you have your belief in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used this effect. I didn't know that was the name of the effect back in the 70s. My dog, I put a photograph of her on a circle of the cross, which is a Christ symbol, and around the edges I put a blessings of holy water and everything, and then I put the prayers I wanted when I needed her for healing because she was having problems. And I was here in New York when she was upstate. This is my dog, Angelsy, and she was a sweet little white shepherd, and she got cured. So the Hieronymus effect is the photograph energy, like the natives felt they would be taken. But the thing is, the energy's there, and you can bless the photo. If you don't have a person in front of you, you can bless their photo or drawing or whatever, their signature, that's what I meant, the drawing, like a signature. This all works, the Hieronymus effect.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
And Phyllis, we've only got about 3 minutes left.
All right. Did we cover everything we talked about?
Well, I think we have done, but I'll just can you let everybody know where they can get in touch with you?
Okay. Intergalacticmission.com, Intergalactic mission, MISSION.com. We also have an art site, but it's just artwork, markbrinkerhoff.com. It's MARC.
But it's better if they go to the... Actually, on
Facebook is
I would say Facebook is probably the best place. Become a friend. Go befriend Mark on Facebook.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so true as well. Well, it's, unfortunately, this is going to be the last show on Blog Talk Radio because I did say at the beginning of the show, but...
You did.
There's been a lot on tonight, listening to the show and coming to the chat room as well. So I've been with Blog Talk for about 2.5 years, doing about 170 shows. All I'm doing is going onto another radio called Beacon of Light Radio. They have got a Facebook page. If you click on that and go to the Facebook page, my show is still going to be on a Wednesdays and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern time, 8 o'clock UK time, and the rest. When Mark's on again, all it'll be on Beacon of Light Radio, but
right.
I will put it on the Facebook page so everybody can see it.
Fantastic.
Wow, cool.
It's going to be a new challenge. I'll send you a link tonight, Mark, on your Facebook thing.
Okay.
It just tells you a little bit about the show and about me and what days they're going to be on. You have a Facebook page where you can go on the Facebook page and find out whose show is on each night or afternoon. And people can phone in or go and write their message on that page. Instead of going in the chat room, you can write on that page.
Okay.
It's all new to me. But
so basically it's Beacon of Light Radio?
Beacon of Light Radio.
Okay.
Beacon of Light?
No, Beacon.
Uh-oh. Oh, B-E-C.
Yeah.
Oh. B-E-A-C.
So what I do...
wrong with Beacon of Light.
Gladys, Phyllis. I'll send you a photo of me on the show and everything.
That's fantastic. we're gonna work
then,
on it.
And then when I get started, I'll get back to you and give you a date to come on the show. On the new show.
Bob, did you see the chat from our friend Mike? Daughter was cured in 3 days of meningitis when they held rosaries.
Oh, brilliant.
And the doctors didn't understand.
Oh, my God, I love it.
It's right over there on our chat room.
Yeah, I see
we
it.
Prayed
yeah,
and
I can
held
see
the rosary.
I can read it now.
God bless you guys, Mike.
We love all of you.
Roseanne and everyone.
We love you.
Made such amazing recovery. And we
Gerard,
knew.
Steph, everyone out there, Kelly.
Absolutely marvelous, that is.
Oh, my gosh, so many people. Look at all the guests. Oh, my gosh. Holy smoke. Look at guest
tonight.
I've never seen so many guests.
Well, that's good.
I wasn't able to get the chat.
Phyllis couldn't find chat on herself on her little the laptop. Yeah.
I know what you mean. Anyway, I will say good night and God bless. Thank you for all the guests on the show tonight on the very last Over the Rainbow show. But on Beacon of Light, I'm still calling my show Over the Rainbow.
Oh, is it still going to be Over the Rainbow?
Yes, it's still going to be Over the Rainbow on Beacon of Light Radio.
Okay.
I'm going to follow
All these differences, it's going to be another radio show. Not Block Talk Radio, but Beacon of Light. And it sounds good as well.
It certainly does, and it looks beautiful, too.
I know everybody's hanging up. I think they didn't hear anymore. But they know that your
well, the
show
just,
continues.
We've run out of time. That's what it is, Mark.
Yeah, anyway, but they all know your show continues online.
I shall be in touch with you soon, both of you. Enjoy your weekend. I'm sure once my penicillin gets into my knee, I'll feel 10 times better.
Is it the left or right? Was it the right knee? Which one?
It's the left knee.
Okay.
I've had a new replacement kneecap.
Okay,
we're
going to pray for you and put that Hieronymus effect on you there, kid.
Oh, yeah, that'd be brilliant. Because she went to take the clips out tonight. They were the like staples. She got the third one down. She said, it's opening up, Bob. It's infected. Let's stop. Anyway, a doctor just came in at the right time. He said, get him some penicillin now.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Mike is still on.
I was meant
thank
to
you
go
for that, Mark,
today instead of Monday. I was going to leave it, and I thought, no, go today.
So you what, are you saying that you went to the doctor today?
Yes.
Oh.
I went today because my clips was due out today. They're like staples. They put about 10 staples in your knee where they've cut it open, and you have to have them out after 10 days. So I was going to have them done today. It could have been today or Monday. And I thought, go today, will be better.
Thank God.
So I'm glad I did because they found it's infected.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
And it's very painful and sore. And I haven't slept for 2 nights.
We're going to pray.
But never mind. You send your healing and I'll do some healing on myself. And I'll get these tablets and I'll be like a new man.
All right.
Well, everything's going to be new. You're going to have the new show, the new body, the everything.
Yes, I am. But, Mark, I'll be in touch soon with a date for you for this new show and tell you. And it's going to be done by Skype.
Oh, Skype.
Okay, cool. Great.
It's going to be done by Skype in the new show.
Skype
so,
with our voice.
I think that's going to be a lot better. For
Skype
everybody
for
around
people.
The world, then. Nobody needs to phone in to be a guest.
Okay, great.
Anyway, I'll let you go. I'm just going to chill out for a bit after and think about the pain and blow it all away.
Okay.
Amen to that.
We love you, Bob.
We love you.
And our prayers are with you.
I love you both. You're the best people in all the world.
I think that's
and the universe, man.
And the universe.
All right.
Such
good
sweet.
Night and God bless.
Take
from
care.
God bless.
UK.
God bless
and just
you.
Remember, Bob, we're always here. So if you want to ever just call, we're here. If we're here,
I
we'll
will
pick
do.
Up, of course.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye.
God bless. Bye.
Bye.